All right, let's continue our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through the end of the chapter. Here we have the miracle of the Lord walking on water and the events immediately following that miracle. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was contrary against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. All right, some background notes for this portion of Mark. In verse 45, where we read that phrase, he made his disciples get into the boat. That's a very strong word there. The idea is that he urged them strongly. You could almost translate it, he compelled them. Now, why is that? Well, it's because of what we find in the parallel account in John chapter 6. They wanted to make him king. John 6, verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. John 6, verse 15. They wanted to make him king, but this was not in accordance with God's plan. The cross must come before reigning as king. The other side that we read about here, Bethsaida, this town is also at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. The feeding of the 5,000, we believe, took place at the north or northeast end of the Sea of Galilee. The town of Bethsaida is also up in the north. So it wasn't too far for the disciples to go from where the miracle of the feeding of 5,000 took place and sail over to, or row over to Bethsaida, more or less along the shore. But while they're doing this, a strong wind comes up, sweeping down from what's called the Golan Heights today, sweeping down, and blew them off course. And this, by the way, can happen quite suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. I've seen the Sea of Galilee like glass and then white capping within an hour. That's how suddenly winds can come up. In fact, the Sea of Galilee today is kind of a mecca for windsurfers in Israel because they do get good winds there. In verse 48, the fourth watch, this is the wee hours of the morning. So they've been rowing for quite a long time. And it's not like they're in danger. It's not like back in chapter 4, where this big storm was upon them and the boat was being inundated with water and they woke up the Lord, "Lord, we perish." No, I don't see them as being in danger here. But they're trying to get to Bethsaida, and the wind is contrary. So it's taking all their strength to row. They could have just as easily drifted down with the wind and landed at Tiberias, but that would be quite a ways away from where the Lord told them to go. So they're trying to follow the Lord's directions here, but the wind is contrary. So it's taking them a long time. And then the Lord comes walking on the water. What a miracle. And this, again, is a miracle. This is not a sandbar or the Lord walking on blocks of ice or something like that. That's, by the way, is the only way we can walk on water, right? I think all of us here have walked on water at one time or another, namely walked across a lake in winter. But the Sea of Galilee doesn't freeze over. No, this is no trick, no sandbar. This is truly a miracle. And this is also the place, of course, where Peter walks on water. And we get that account in Matthew. John and Mark do not select that part to record. But this is that same event. So here we have another miracle of our Lord showing his power over nature because he's God. In verse 53, the Gennesaret here, where they land, this is on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, not too far south from Capernaum. In verse 56, the last verse of the chapter, the border of his garment. According to Numbers 15, verse 38, the Jews were to have tassels on the fringe of their garments to remind them of God's law. So the Lord, we see, did keep the details of the law. Not everybody did, but our Lord did. There wasn't anything magical about this fringe or these tassels, but it was the Lord's power in response to the genuine faith of those who were healed. Doctrinal points. The Lord is praying for us in heaven while we are toiling here on earth. That's our doctrinal point from this passage. The Lord is praying for us in heaven while we are toiling here on earth. Now you might say, where do you get that doctrinal point out of this? The Lord is praying for us in heaven while we are toiling here on earth? Where do you get that from this miracle of the walking on water? Well, what we have here is a spiritual picture of that truth in the setting of this miracle. Just as the parables of our Lord Jesus have a spiritual meaning, so the miracles have meaning associated with them as well. See if you can follow the spiritual picture now. The Lord sends his disciples out on the sea where it's going to be rough. He knew it was going to be rough. In the same way, the Lord sends us out on the sea of life. And it's not smooth sailing. It's rough. The winds are contrary. The Lord knows it. Meanwhile, the Lord departs to the mountain to pray. Isn't that not a picture of our Lord's present position? Listen to Hebrews 7 and verse 25. In reference to the high priestly work of our Lord Jesus. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. Our Lord is making intercession for us now in heaven as our great high priest. And I think this is pictured here in this miracle. The Lord sees them toiling at the oars. Real labor. They're trying to follow the Lord's direction, but it's hard, it's tough. The winds are contrary. But rather than drift, they continue to plug away, to try to follow the Lord's directions. In the same way, the Lord sees us on this troubled sea of life. He sees us laboring. He sees us toiling. He knows the winds are contrary, but his eye is on us. We may not realize the Lord is watching us all the time, watching out for us. As Hebrews 7:25 says, he always makes intercession for us. And then the Lord comes to them and brings peace. What a picture of our Lord's return. The Lord is coming back again, and there will be a great time of peace as he returns. So you have a great picture here of our Lord's present ministry and our present situation and the peace that is to come. It's So that's our doctrinal point. The Lord is praying for us in heaven while we are toiling here on earth. And that certainly is a spiritual picture that we see in this miracle. And that then brings us to our practical application. And you might be able to even guess at the practical application that we would bring out from this passage. The Lord can walk on your troubled waters. Put it like that. The Lord can walk on your troubled waters. Not only is this miracle in its setting a picture of the Lord's present ministry in heaven, in our present situation here on earth, and our Lord's return and bringing peace, it can be also applied to our immediate situation. Are you on a troubled sea right now? Are you straining at the oars? Maybe you have financial problems, out of a job, things are rough. Maybe you're facing some difficult problems in your family life. Maybe your health has failed you and you're really hurting. The Lord knows, and He cares, and He can walk on your troubled waters. That is, He can bring relief. He's in control. Sometimes He permits the troubled waters so He can show us His power. Sometimes He waits till the wee hours of the morning, the darkest part of the night, before He brings calm to our troubled waters. Sometimes before we realize His presence in the midst of our troubles, we're scared. We don't recognize that the Lord is there waiting for us to call out to Him. But as the Lord said there in verse 50, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." So He would say that to us in our troubled situations. Be of good cheer, it is I. He is there, He is present. Be not afraid. You know what's very interesting in that phrase, "it is I," it's not just like we would say, "it's me." No, that's the divine title there. It's the I am. It's the divine title. It's the very way in which God revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush. The I am. And that's the title for deity that's used so often in the Gospel of John. Well, it's used here. Be of good cheer. It is I. I am. He's showing His deity. He's God. Do not be afraid. And when we realize that our Lord Jesus is there with us all the time, He's God, He's in control, then we certainly don't have to be afraid. We can be of good cheer. The Lord may permit some contrary winds to trouble the waters in your life, in my life. Let's not let ourselves drift. It'd be a lot easier to drift. Let's continue to try as best we can to follow the Lord's directions, even though the winds are contrary. It may be hard. You may not recognize the Lord's presence with you, but He is with us, and He will show us His power and convince us of His presence. Remember, the Lord can walk on our troubled waters.